All right. And I do have one more picture about my surgery, and it shows everything. I mean, it's like PG-13. The throat is, but I'm not going to show it to you. And my wife says, I'm glad you didn't show that one picture. It was terrible. I said, I know. So if you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings tonight. A little bit different for a Sunday night, a little bit teachy, more than preachy, but very helpful. A lot of material, and I'll quote as much as I can, and a good many points toward the end, a lot of illustrations, and we'll just try to get going here. This message will be geared more to the young adults than the old timers. So if you're retired and you got one foot on a banana peeling and one foot in the grave, this is probably not for you. But it'll help those that you know. So 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to look right down into verse number 1. Let's see, who had a good afternoon? At least a part of the afternoon. Good. Who got a nap in? Let's find it. Who got a, wow, the nap people. How many of you, you're going to just do that tonight? One of our grandkids years ago, the parents said, you need to get a nap so you don't fall asleep in church. And they said, oh, I'll just sleep when Papa preaches tonight. I said, I'll get you. And so, anyway, 2 Kings chapter number 4. Here it is. Old Testament story. It's a great story. It says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. Elisha the prophet had started a Bible college, if you will. He was training the future generation. So they were preacher boys. That's what we would call them, preacher boys. And so this one happened to be married. He was one of the married students. And it says, she came to him saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. So she comes to the man of God. She says, so my husband was in Bible college and he's dead. So how are you going to help us? At least she knew where to come. She came for some advice. And I think maybe she kind of came for a handout. Someone would say from the benevolent fund. Verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? And it's worded, it's a famous sermon called Debt to Dignity. Maybe he said something, so what am I supposed to do about this? What do you want me to do? Tell me what thou hast in thine house. And she said, thine handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Sometimes we minimize what we do have. Instead of majoring on, I do have this, we kind of minimize it. She said, all I have is just a pot of oil. I was frying up some chicken this afternoon, and there was some oil left over. And he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. So he told her to do something. So now she's acting by faith. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. So she's got all these empty vessels. She only has one that has oil in it. She starts pouring, and it keeps refilling itself. A miracle takes place, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. So this is an Old Testament miracle. By the way, we may try it tonight. Once all the waffles are gone, is there any more waffles in that waffle iron? Then she came and told the man of God. Now, the reason God did the miracle was she obeyed. She obeyed. He said, here's what you do. She did. God always blesses obedience. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. So basically, he said these two things, pay your debt, live on the rest. That's what I want to speak on tonight for a few moments. A little financial message, a little eternal message, where we live and far. Pay your debt, live on the rest. And that's the message for tonight. Father, bless now the brief time that we have tonight. Help us say something that would relieve some pain and some pressure in some families. Many of us didn't get a lot of common business sense. It's not real common. Some of our parents never taught us money. And they never taught us how to handle it. They never taught us some of these things. So I pray that you would use your word tonight and just help us learn something, some truth that would help us in the future. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Most have some debt. Most people in this room, if the truth were known, there's probably some debt, maybe on a credit card, maybe on a car, definitely on a house if you're buying a house, but there's some debt. This young couple had made some debt. They had presumed on the future. Somehow they had presumed they were going to live long enough to pay for this debt. It created pressure on this family. They asked the man of God what to do. They did what he said. And then God blessed them. And I want to say this. God blesses those that work hard. We have that example all throughout Scripture. Abraham was wealthy. He was a hard worker. Jacob became wealthy. Job became wealthy. They worked hard. Never criticize someone that has accumulated some things if they've worked hard, because they deserve it. God bless his work. Second, God blesses those that trust him. Here's a great promise if you're a new Christian. I gave it to someone yesterday. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's our part. Here's the condition. Seek him first. That means first in your day, first in your decisions, first in your week, first in your finances. And all these things shall be added unto you. That was the theme verse of Solomon's life. God says, because you've not asked for the life of your enemies or long life or wealth or riches, I've given you me and the wealth and the riches. God blesses those who tithe. Matthew 3:6, he says, prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. That's what God says. God blesses tithers. Not only that, above that, God blesses givers. He says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over. Here's the catch. Shall men give unto your bosom? God says he wants us to be givers, a lifestyle of giving to others. So we can decide to be blessed if we want to. And this is not get rich quick scheme. You give in the offering today, you'll be a millionaire tomorrow. That's not what God says, but he does have promises, and God does not want his people under the pressure of debt. What causes debt, Pastor? I think probably the biggest thing would be this. Impatience. We want it. One, we want things we do not need. Number two, we have trouble with being patient now. We want it now. Three, we want it earlier than our parents had it. So we need the nice things our parents had when they were 60, when we're 25. Impatience. Sometimes we have to just wait for it. I told someone recently, someone's going to pack up and they're going to move from where they live. I said, look. I said, don't pack everything up. If you have junk, sell it. And wherever you move, buy more junk to replace it. I said, if you don't have heirlooms and expensive stuff, sell it. You bought it at a garage sale, sell it at a garage sale. So you can tell the great advice I gave on finances there. And I want to say this too, just a lot of little statements tonight. Our God is an abundant God. I love Psalm 23, where it says, my cup runneth over. God is not the type father where he just fills your cup like a quarter of an inch and says, can you exist on this? Can you live if I give you this much? He said, I'm the kind of father, I pour, I fill up your cup till it's running all over the table. That's how much I love you. He's an abundant God. Never feel guilty for your heavenly father spoiling you. That means if you have nice things and you drive a nice car, you got a nice place to live and you have some money in the bank, you have some things, never feel guilty for that. Why? Because we have an abundant God. That's who he is. Now, take your Bibles just for a moment. I do want you to look at this scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6 for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Somehow in society, we believe that money is what makes everyone happy. It makes everybody happy. It cures all of our problems. It gives us friends. It gives us things. And in most cases, it gives more heartache than anything else. Look down, please, in 1 Timothy 6. And Paul is warning Timothy about the dangers of having things. Notice 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 6. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That word contentment means being happy with what's in your tent. Someone said there's two ways to be wealthy. One, have enough money to buy everything you want. Or two, want everything you have. Most of us will have to be the latter. He says, godliness with contentment. I'm content. This is all I need. I don't need much. For we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment. Raiment is clothing. Let us be there with content. If you have clothes, if you have food, it's implied. You have shelter. You ought to be a happy camper. Everything else is bonus. Everything's bonus. Well, we can't eat out. Well, if you get to eat out, that's bonus. Oh, we didn't have a vacation this year. If you had a vacation this year, that's bonus. It's all bonus. This is Paul speaking. Happy man. He's in prison. But they that will be rich, verse 9, he's not saying those who are, but those who their desire is to be. If I could just win the lottery, I'd be happy. They fall into, notice all the negative words. They fall, temptation, snare, many foolish, hurtful lusts, drown men in destruction, perdition. That's, I think it's 12 negative words dealing with money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They fell out of church. They're no longer coming on Sunday nights. Money, somehow money got in the way. Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. O man of God, flee these things. Someone says money takes us everywhere but heaven, gives us everything but happiness. You say, why is it called deceitful in the Bible? Here's why. It gives us false security. Somehow we think if everything's going well financially, we're doing well. And that's not always the case. I wonder how President Trump's soul is doing in his spiritual condition. He's a billionaire. Wonder how Zuckerberg is doing. Wonder how Elon Musk is doing. Wonder how many of these NFL players and rock stars are doing. They've got the money, but it doesn't mean it's well within their souls. It separates us sometimes from the Lord. The rich young ruler, you remember the story? He comes to Jesus and Jesus says, follow me. And he says, but I got great riches. And he left sorrowful. The riches separated him. One man went to hell and God gives details about it. All we know is he was a rich man. The Bible says sometimes riches choke us. Matthew chapter 13, 22, it says, in the word of God, the seed was choked and it didn't bear fruit. What's that mean? It means sometimes if we have debt, we come to church, we're hearing God's word, we're hearing something true, something that's going to help us, we can't even concentrate. Because we're sitting in the pew saying, they're going to repossess my car. Where are we going to live? How are we going to do this? How are we going to pay this bill? Creditors are calling, and our mind is on all of these things and debt, and we're being choked, and we cannot swallow the Word of God. I've been there before, and I'm sure maybe someone else has been there as well. I love this promise. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 8:18 says, He giveth power to get wealth. We do realize this, folks. Making money is not all about us. God says, I am the one that gives you power to get wealth. I gave you an IQ. I gave you hands and abilities. I gave you a country to live in. I gave you help. I gave someone to train you. None of us pulled ourselves up with our own bootstraps and we just learned everything on our own. No, it's God that's given us that power. He can turn it on. He can turn it off in just a moment. Now, here's the problem. You say, Pastor, pay your debt, live on the rest. Why do we go in debt? Here's one of the main reasons. Here it is. As income increases, our standard of living increases. Say, illustrate. Okay, you got a clunky car. It's dependable. Gets you to work. Nothing's wrong with that. Somehow you double your salary. Now that clunky car is not very good anymore. You live in a house that's adequate. It's big enough. Fits the family. It's clean. It's nice. Modern. You win the lottery. Now you need something in Silverado Country Club. And probably two or three other houses as well. See, sometimes people think, well, man, if I could just move to another state, it's so expensive in California. Here it is. You struggle here. You'll probably struggle somewhere else. It's not always the pay scale of the state. It's self-control. It's self-control. We have to avoid this thing called covetousness. It is one of the Ten Commandments. Covet means to stretch after. If I just had this, I would be happy. Give you a statistic. I read it in a book recently. And it said, what would the average American do for $10 million? Here's what they said, and this was 10 years ago. For $10 million, a majority of the people polled said this. They would murder for $10 million. They would be a prostitute for the night for $10 million. Many said they would adopt out one of their kids for $10 million. It'd probably been my brother. I know it wouldn't have been me. They would have left America and never come back to this country for $10 million. You know, a lot of people have a price tag, and it's covetousness. We think of Achan, he lost his family because of covetousness. We think of Lot, well-watered plain. Think of Eve, she had to have the apple to be happy, or the fruit. We think of Judas, sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Paul said this, I know how to abound, I know how to be abased. Paul said, I can live in the Hilton for the night. I can sleep outside in a tent for the night. I could be the president, and I could be a missionary in a third world country. He said, I've learned how to be content. Let me say this to the single people tonight. You want to marry someone that's content. If you don't marry someone that's content, it'll be, well, if you gave me this, I'd be happy. Well, if you gave me that, and it'll be the next thing the rest of your life. Abraham, I love this. He rescues Lot from the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah in this battle. And the kings say, let's pay you, Abraham. Here's what he said. I have enough. Said, I have enough. I don't want anybody to think you evil people made me rich. I got enough. Abraham was blessed because he was content. We had a fellow in school years ago. I'm not going to give you his last name. Too many of you Google these days. I give these stories and you Google. You know what he's doing now? He's been in prison. He's a mass murderer. Anyway, this guy's name was Ricky. When I was in grade school, you could buy extra milk at lunch for 3 cents. You can get vanilla or you could get chocolate, 3 cents. You could get an ice cream cone at recess, 3 cents. You could get a soda. We called them Cokes back there, 3 cents. Ricky got a dollar every day to spend at school, a dollar. 33 popsicles, 33 sodas, 33 milks. He got a dollar every day just for fun. Ricky would buy him a soda, he'd start drinking it, he'd take the change and sling it out into the field. You'd see all of his little followers, his paparazzi, his groupies, would follow him and chase all that money, and he would laugh. He would just throw it. You don't want to be the person chasing the change in the field your whole life. You say, Pastor, I would have chased it, 3 cents a carton of milk. I would have done it. I want to say this as well. If we're going to get out of debt personally, we have to plug some holes that are causing the debt. I'll just give you these. If you want scriptures later, I'll give them to you. Immorality causes debt. It is financially smart to be pure morally. You ask anyone who's been married and had an affair and it broke up that marriage, ask them about the court, ask them about the lawsuits, ask them about the pension, ask them about what all they lost, all the judge, all that, it's expensive. Besides being wrong and a sin, expensive. What else? Laziness. God condemns it. Too much talk. He condemns it. Wrong friends adds to debt. Addictions, not tithing. All these things. Stinginess. What a man years ago in the church. He was a businessman, started coming. And he had a derby on his head. Retired man. One day after the service, he said, Pastor, he said, I want to talk to you a minute. I said, okay. He said, I've invested a lot of money. I own these houses. I own this stuff. And he said, I just sold $25,000 worth of Coca-Cola. And he said, I gave all the stock to one of my sons. I sold $50,000 worth of this stock and gave to one of these other kids. And he's talking. He said, and I've got a check for the church. I said, okay. And you always wonder, what do you do when someone gives a check to the pastor? He says, thank you. I'll look at it later. Then he runs quickly and looks at it. Well, he put it on the desk. He said, go ahead and look at it. I said, no, that's all right. That's okay. I said, I'll give it to the bookkeeper. He said, no, go ahead and look at it. I said, okay. I flipped over his check. It was for $5 to the church. He said, Pastor, I just want you to know you can count on that every Sunday. Every Sunday, I'll be giving that to the church. You'd have been so proud of me not just tearing it up in front of him. To him, he thought that was such a sacrifice. Stinginess. You say, Pastor, what's your advice? I just want to give it to you quickly. I hope the young people will take some notes, and I'm going to talk fast. What do? How do you stay out of debt? Live on the rest. How do you do this? Number one, if you're a young person, get a good education now. Get a good education now. My mother told me, she said, when I grew up, my daddy made my mother cry a lot. And my mother did not have a career. She had no skills. So my mother decided, she said, I decided I would be a nurse. And I'm going to have a job. So if my marriage goes south, I can take care of myself. Young people, you want to get some skill. Get the book learning, get the hand learning. Get good at doing something. Well, I'm going to be an astronaut. Okay, good. But you better get a side job too. I'm going to have a rock band and I'm going to pass Taylor Swift and ticket sales. You better get a day job too. You gotta be trained. You need to learn everything. The average person changes career several times. Well, I'm going to get on at this chemical plant. It may not even be there in 5 years. You want to get your degree. If you're book smart, get the book degree. If you're hand smart, get the hand degree. Hands-on stuff. You want to have a great education. Number two, put God first every week. What's that mean? No working on Sundays. Let someone else work on Sundays. When you get a job, it ought to be, I don't do Sundays. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. My Father will take care of me. I'm not going to work Sundays. My very first paid job where I punched in, McDonald's, they said, so what hours can you work? I said, no Sundays. They said, everybody works Sundays. I said, not me. I'll be a hard worker. I don't do Sunday. I don't do Sunday morning. I don't do Sunday night. I don't do Sunday. Now here's what happens, young people. If they can get you to work one Sunday, they know it's not a big deal to you. If you'll compromise on that one Sunday, if you don't mind missing church that one Sunday, it's okay, and they're going to start scheduling you, and sayonara, we'll never see you again. Years ago, Brother Berto applied for, I hope it's okay to tell this, the Napa Sanitation. They were going to hire him. And he said, do I have to do any Sundays? He said, it's going to be steady work, steady pay, retirement, pension, all this stuff. They said, well, you may have to work some Sundays. He said, I'm not taking the job. Some people would have looked and said, well, that's foolish. Look how God's used him. See, it's a slippery slope. Now, sometimes there's going to be shift work, and I understand there may be some emergency, but I'm just saying when you take a job and they say you will have to work Sundays on a regular basis, let someone else work that job. Just a thought. Number three. Pay your debts. If you owe on possessions, if you owe on services, if there's someone you owe, you want to start working at paying those debts. Number four, the goal is to be debt free. You want to be to the place where you're debt free, where you've paid the debts and you can live on the rest. Number four, live on a budget. If the income is less than the outgo, you must increase the income or decrease the outgo. Number five, get on prayer answering ground. You want to get to the place where you can say, Lord, nothing between us. I know I'm getting my prayers answered. Now look, I need help with these finances. Help me get out of debt. Show me what to do. Is there a second job? Is there overtime? Is there a better job? Help me do that. You want him to be listening to your prayers. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not in debt. Oh, yes, you are. All of us are. We owe a debt. Christ paid a debt we could not pay. We owe a debt we could not pay. We needed someone to wash our sins away. We are a debtor to the Lord. Because he has paid for our sins, we owe him to live for him. And that's why we look at the young people and say, look, your whole life is ahead of you. Live for the Lord. Don't waste your life. Make it count. And that's what you want to do. And then we owe a debt to the lost. Today, I just loved it, and hopefully we'll get these buses fixed and working and parts, and maybe someone will buy a new bus for the church. But I just loved it. All these vans were packed out, and the shuttle was packed out. People were just moving people. Highest attendance on the buses we've had in a long time. Know what people were doing? Paying their debt. Know what we were doing when we were giving out tracts this week? Just paying our debt. Someone says, thanks for leading me to Christ. Oh, I was just paying my debt. Now someone led me to Christ. I'm just paying my debt. When Brother Jim was in the hallway today, I introduced him to one of our good men, one of our good families. I said, Brother Jim, his whole family got saved because you kept this church open. And the gentleman looked at Brother Guzman and he says, thanks for keeping the church open all these years. Our whole family got reached. Know what? They owe him a debt. And we owe him a debt. You want to pay that debt. Number next, don't borrow from friends. Don't borrow from friends. Last Sunday, we had a lady. She just happened to ride the bus, and I'm always cutting up on Sundays, and she said, I have a note for you. And I thought, maybe it's praying for your surgery, sorry about your mom, happy late birthday, happy anniversary, I didn't know what it was. And I just said, oh, and I picked it up, you won the lottery, you're paying off the church, wow, thank you so much. And she just kind of looked at me. Well, after the service, she walks up to me, and she says, well, do you have it? I said, yeah, I got that note right in my Bible. I'll read it after the service. She goes, no. Do you have the $300 I need? I said, do what? Yeah, I need $300 today. That's what the note's all about. Didn't you read it? I says, ma'am, I went straight from seeing you to preaching. I said, no, I don't have the $300. And she goes, well, are you going to give me $300? I said, no, we're not giving you $300. So What's that got to do with anything? I don't know. Don't borrow from friends. Folks, you don't want to be the person people hate to see coming because you're always doing this. See, handshaking time is to do this. It's not to do this. And the moment you borrow from a friend, your relationship changes. The borrower is servant to the lender. You have lost a friend over $300 or whatever because now they no longer look at you the same. And until you pay that debt, they're always wondering, when are they going to pay me back? When are they going to pay me back? I was behind them at Wendy's and they supersized their whole meal. When are they going to pay me back? Put that back. I saw them in Walmart buying new school clothes. My kids don't have, and it builds and builds. Don't borrow from friends. We're going through a personal thing years ago, and a pastor, if I named him, you would know him. He goes, look, I got a rental property. I've got extra money in the bank. He said, I heard you're in a pinch. He said, I got $35,000 if you need it. I said, as bad as I need it, I need you as a friend more. I cannot take the $35,000. Now, if you give it to my wife, she would take it. No, he didn't do that. I'd rather have a friend. Quickly, don't lend to friends. If you have it, you think they have a need, and you don't mind kissing it goodbye, tell George, see you later. And never expecting it back, give it. But if you can't give it, don't do that. Same thing with cars. Well, I'll pay you a dollar, and Wimpy, I'll gladly repay you on Thursday. And then now he's blown up your car, and you still don't get your money. Don't do that. All money in hand, all purchases, all money in hand, that's wise business sense. Number next, save, then buy. Well, we need a washing machine now. Save, then buy. Walk to the wash interior. Save, then buy. You'll enjoy it more. It'll help you with character. It'll teach you patience. Save, then buy. Young people, you need a car. Save, then buy. Do not get a cosigner. Do not take out a loan. Save, then buy. Well, all I can get is a clunker. You need a clunker. Save, then buy. You'll enjoy it when you pull into Whole Foods. And that little old lady says, oh, the buggy slipped out of my hand. Wham! Right there into your car. You'll be thankful you have a clunker with those little dings in it. Number next, work, then play. Work, then play. You have not earned playtime until you've put in the work. Keep going here. Next, learn to postpone toys and trips. And I know this sounds so negative, but I came to be encouraged, Pastor. Hey, this will encourage you long term. When you have a little money jangling in your pocket, you'll say, this is neat. When there's a special offering and you say, man, I wish I had money to give that missionary, and you can reach in and you have some, you're going to say, this is cool. I lived in Louisiana. Everyone's got a boat. You need to have a boat to go in the bayou. Whether you're going to alligator hunt, fish for crappie, sackalay, bass, catfish, whatever you're going to do, you need a boat. I needed a boat. A guy at church needed some money. He said, got a boat and trailer, fiberglass bass boat. It was brand new. He said, I need $200. I said, $200? I bought it. Pulled it under my garage. You know what a motor costs for a bass boat? More than an engagement ring. I mean, for used one, you're looking at $3,500. The boat was $200. And the trailer. I had that boat for 2 years. Never put it in the water, but it sure looked good. It was right there in my driveway. People drove by. That guy has a boat. Hey, he has a boat. I never had money for a motor. After 2 years, I sold it, but I had one. Learned to postpone trips. I was 19. My dad wanted to send me to Israel for my graduation from college. No, it wasn't 19, it was 20. And I asked my pastor, he says, have you ever seen California yet? I said, what do you mean by that? He said, how about you see your country before you start seeing all the other countries? Didn't see Hawaii till I was married, I think 25, 30, 35 years. I'm not against it. I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm just saying you want to postpone some joys. This isn't going very good. I asked my wife last night, I said, when did we take our first cruise? She said, it was on our 25th wedding anniversary. We found a cheap cruise for, I think, $213 a piece. That's pretty good. Nonstop eating. Paying for gluttony. Just paying for the sin of gluttony. She said, it'd sure be nice if we just told some church people about it. Maybe they have never been on a cruise. 92 people went with us on our 25th anniversary cruise. That's getting away from it all. That was after we were married 25 years. I've started hunting some. Guess what? When I was like 50. 50. Some of those things I never got to do. 50. Fishing in Mexico. Yeah, like 50. 50. You want to postpone some toys and some trips quickly. Make sound, counseled decisions. I'm writing a new book right now. Someone asked me. It's called Dumb Decisions Baptists Have Made. I'm just going to put pictures in it. What a brand new family. I mean, they were coming great. And bunches of their relatives were getting saved. I mean, they were in every service. And then I hear this, Pastor, we're moving. I said, do what? We're moving. You got to be kidding. Man, your whole family comes to this church, all your relatives. Well, Aunt so-and-so died in Corning. I said, what's Corning? What's the town by Red Bluff? Where's Red Bluff? And they're giving us their house. I mean, we get a free house. I said, that's wonderful. You can sell it and put a good down payment right here in Napa. No. It's a free house. So we're going to have to move there. I said, you're going to leave everybody you know here because someone gave you a free house? Is there a good church there? Well, I'm sure, and I hear this, I'm sure we can find a good church. Hey, folks, it's been 35 years. They haven't found a good church yet. And half of them have died off. Half of them had addictions. They lost all their kids. How come? They were connected here. They made a dumb decision. And all of us said, hey, free house, we got to move. They got the house. They lost their God. You want to make sound decisions. We go in debt because of quick, uncounseled decision. We're not experts at finances sometimes, and we make our own decisions. You need to run it by some people. I'm not God. I don't dictate. You don't even have to ask me. But there's some pretty wise people in these pews. You ought to just say, what do you think of this? I'm thinking of this. What do you think? What's the Bible say? Is this a wise decision? You'd be wise to do that. Number next. And I probably shouldn't even say this. You're not going to like it. I'm just going to say it. I can still bend a little bit. I can hide behind the pulpit. And I'm just saying, if you're trying to help yourself financially, stop eating out so much. I'm not against it. And someone's going to see me tomorrow. I'm taking out Brother Jim Guzman tomorrow. Oh, Pastor, his crib. He's taking someone out. No. I'm saying, if you need to tighten the belt for a season and things are tight, stop spending so much money on fast food. Okay, here we are. All right, where y'all want to go? Let's go to Wendy's. Pull in. Let's do the drive-thru. All right, what are you going to get? I'm going to get a Baconator. All right? I'm going to fry. You want it upgraded? You want supersize? Yeah, supersize. That's $350. And you want a drink? Yeah. Orange? Yep, that's $350. All right. And what do you want? So that's about $9 right there, maybe 12. And then the mate, about 12. Kids, what do y'all want? Y'all want? And pretty soon you're up to about 50 bucks. I'm not against that. I mean, I love Wendy's. I love that little redheaded girl on the poster. You do that twice in the week, it's $100. You do that for a month, that's $400. That's a Christian school payment. Your kid could be in a Christian school. I wish we had money to put our kid in Christian education. You could. That's a car payment. Man, I wish we had a new car like the so-and-so's. That's a car payment. I'm just saying. And then the triple Frappuccino, and I'm not against Starbucks. I mean, I've got stock in that place. You see me there all the time because people give me gift cards, and I've got to redeem them before the rapture. And so I'm trying to be a wise steward. You hardly ever see me give them cash. It's always that gift card. But I'm just saying, triple Frappuccino with the extra, extra, and this and that, and then the little bagel that goes with it, and that's 10 or 15 bucks. You do that every day, and that's about 75 bucks. That's $350 a month at Starbucks. Plus the $400 at Wendy's, now it's $750. I'm just saying, sometimes we just don't add some things up and say, how come we're not making it? And I'm not saying you have to live on bread and water and pastor's going to be at all the fast food. And I see you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to be able to say no to fast food for a month because we're saving up for a vacation. No, hey, we're not doing any Starbucks for the next 3 months because we're putting our kids in a Christian school or whatever it is. Number next, lost a bunch of you there. Okay, when our kids were young, we would go to Wendy's. I want to say this. Develop simple tastes in your kids. What's that mean? We'd go to Wendy's. And we'd say, all right, there's the menu. You can have anything you want. One item off the dollar menu. I don't even think they have a dollar menu now. I think it's the $10 menu. All right, can I have a burger? Uh-huh. Okay, what do you want? I want the four McNuggets. Okay, can I have a fry? They got one thing, and we probably weren't supposed to do this. We all split the same drink. It was terrible. We got one drink. We all shared it. Faith to this day, you know how she is. She always asks, can I have my own straw? I just don't like drinking after everybody else. Poor kid. What'd she think, we had germs or something? I wonder what people thought of us. Hey, we ate out. When someone takes you out to the restaurant, order water. Is water free? Yeah, we'll have water. You don't need a $4 drink. Took someone out recently. I said, I'm not buying you a $4 soda. Not doing this. Killing me. Anyway. Pastor, such a cheapskate. Pastor, you didn't take your kids to Disneyland? Did you deprive them? No, we went. I don't know if we went every year or every other year. Here's how it was. We'd find the tickets on sale. Sometimes if they're the park hopper tickets, we would find someone that just hopped a little bit. And we bought the rest of their park hopper. At a discount. We met him in some dark alley somewhere. The guy's name was Pedro. But we ended up somehow getting discount tickets. We would leave here at 4 a.m, drive all the way there to Disneyland when they opened. And we opened the park, stayed all day. We didn't eat anything at the park. We didn't have a co-signer. We brought our own food, and we stayed till the kids passed out. We always found a motel that would let us sleep 7. And we would ask, do you have breakfast? And here's what they'd say. We put out 2 dozen donuts every morning. It feeds the whole motel. That's our breakfast. I said, perfect. What time do you put the donuts out? We'll put them out at 7 a.m. I'll be there. And somehow all the donuts disappeared in the whole motel. They all came to the Ray room because that was our breakfast. No one else got any donuts in the whole motel. We slept there that night, drove all the way back so Pastor could be in the pulpit Wednesday night. That was our vacation. Kids, look quick. You remember? We were at Disneyland. We're taking pictures. We went. We fit it in. It didn't kill the kids that they didn't spend a week there. One day is enough of Mickey for me. M-I-C. Don't you say it. Say this quickly. See it coming. Pastor, I didn't know the married couples get away with. Well, we don't have any money. We didn't know. It's only been on the calendar since January. We passed out calendars. January 1st. Married couples get away. It's been on the calendar. Well, we didn't know youth conference. It's been on the calendar 8 months. Years ago, we had a student wanting to go to Bible college. His parents were not going to be able to help him. His dad had a yard service, not high tech, a weed eater, a lawnmower, and a blower. That was about it. Old timer, he was here when I got here. Ty McMichael, the McMichaels. Ty said, Pastor, I'm starting my own business. I'm going to pay my way to Bible college. I said, Ty, don't do that. Man, get a job. Start my own business. I said, what are you going to start? He said, a yard service. I said, look, there's plenty of yard service. Don't do that. He said, look, I got my own little business card. Help yard service. Help. I said, you're going to need some help. He said, my dad loaned me his weed eater. Said, I can borrow his truck. I got the blower. I got a lawnmower. I said, Ty, don't do this. Ty started just cruising the neighborhoods. Yards that needed mowing, hit stop. Can I give you a bid? I'm the owner of Help Yard Service. Yeah, and the only employee and the secretary and the worker, you're everything. And they said, sure. I can do your gutters for this. I can blow for that. I can edge for this. The boy was making $1,000 a week. In 1989, here in California, cash. 6 weeks, he had $6,000 in his pocket. He said, I'm going to Bible college. I said, told you that's a good idea, that yard, help yard service. I've always believed in you. I called him one time. He had a little answer machine in his room. You have reached Help Yard Service. We, hypocrite, we are out of the office right now. I mean, do you have split personality time? We are out of the office now. Call back and we'll return your call. He wasn't lazy. He left in the morning when the sun was coming up. He got back home when the sun was going down. Pastor, I wish I could make some money, a little extra money. Here you go. Rake yards. Go door to door. I'll rake your yard, $25. I got the bags, got the rake. What do you think? I'll clean your gutters. I'll mow your grass. I'll wash your car. I'll detail your car. I'll do child care. I'll watch kids. I'm a Christian. I've got a clean house. I do daycare. Handyman. Ride share. I will let someone ride to work with me. Pay the debt. Live on the rest. Pay the debts. Live on the rest. Well, a lady started coming to our church years ago, and single lady. She started getting very involved. Had a daycare. Didn't pity herself. Single mom. After a while, all the kids were grown. Started teaching Sunday school here. Bus captain spot came available. She became a bus captain. Out every Thursday night for soul winning. Involved. Started a upholstery business on the side. She'd go to restaurants and say, y'all got holes in your seats here. I know how to fix this. She bid jobs. Came to me one day and said, Pastor, there's a house for sale. I said, you can't afford a house. She said, I've been saving. I think I got a deposit. She paid off her house in recent years here in Napa. That lady owns a house in Napa. That's Carol Lincoln. You know why? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why wouldn't God want to bless a lady like that? Why wouldn't he? Hope it's okay to say that, Miss Lincoln. If not, let's remove it from the tape. Wish I owned a house. You do what she did for 35 years, and you may, and you may. Luke 6:11. Say, Pastor, you're going a little bit longer. I know, but this is gonna feel real good in your banking account one day. Luke 6:11. You need not turn there. God said this. He said, if I cannot trust you with these earthly riches, money, gold, silver, how can I trust you with the true riches? What are the true riches, Pastor? Wisdom to share. Power to win souls. Godly relationships. Brother Steve Guzman years ago was asked, someone asked him, where do you work? He said, I work for the Lord. But I show up at Mare Island to pay my bills. We all work for the Lord. Throughout Scripture, you'll see open hands always precede revival, a generous spirit. When Job finished his trial, it said, and everyone came and gave him a piece of money. I wonder why some people had a piece of money. They were debt free. And they had some money to give Job. I'll end with this. And I'm kind of going to end with this. When my wife went through her time in the hospital, not only did she get more flowers, they said, than any patient in history at that hospital. They said, we've never seen anything like this. There were up to 30 bouquets, and I mean like $100, $200 bouquets in her room at one time. Very loved. Then we started getting some checks in the mail. Our church took a love offering for your family. I know this won't pay everything. We just want to encourage you. Here's $1,500. Someone dropped by the lobby. They said, here's just a little gift bag. Just wanted to encourage you. Not even a member here had $1,000 cash in it. That money was used so I could call my kids and say, can you catch a flight tomorrow and come up and see your mom? We don't know how it's going to end up. Can you catch a flight? And a lot of that money went on those flights. Why? Because someone had a little extra because they had paid the debt and lived on the rest. And that extra to be a blessing. We've said a lot of things tonight. Some of it's not going to apply in every age group. But I hope you'll let some of it lodge in. And let's not be the ones. It's all about money. We have to have it to live in our society. Let's not let it rule us, and you'll be glad. Heavenly Father, bless now this time. A lot of teaching. Help us love you more than anything in the world. And when we walk in the streets of heaven and enter the gates, help us be glad we invested in eternity. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed. Let's quietly stand, please. If God has spoken to your heart, you need to come and pray about something. You're welcome to use this altar as yours. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just a young boy or a young girl. You need to make a decision. I'm going to be a tither. When I get a job, I'm going to give God the first 10%. I'm going to do that. I want to get out of debt, Pastor, so I can help a missionary. Fly to the mission field. Young people, look this way. Look this way. That's what I want to do. I want to have some extra one day. I don't want to spend it all on me. I don't want to get in all these debts and just all these things and all the, nothing's wrong with that. If you're not careful, we end up with all these things. And then we don't have anything to give people that we care about. How about you tonight? How about you? It may be God's going to call out some young people in our church, not to the ministry, He's going to give you wisdom how to be a great business person, make tons of money. But will you still be coming to church when you do? Is it going to ruin you? Or will you use it to build some Bible colleges, send out some missionaries, encourage some people, pay some kids' ways to camp, buy some church buses that run? How about you tonight? How about you? Elisha said to the lady, sell this oil, pay your debt, live off the rest. That's what we need tonight. Set a goal. I just want to be debt free. I don't want bills coming. All these bills. After a while, the pleasures, they leave us.